Trusting God when your situation seems hopeless. Trusting God when your situation seems hopeless. Today we begin a study on the book of Daniel. Over the next few months, we'll begin to look at each chapter of Daniel. Listen, it's a fascinating book. It helps us to understand how God is ultimately in control of it all. So we can rest assured that when we go through our darkest hours, God is still in control. You know, in our Christian life, there'll be those mountaintop experiences with God. Boy, things will go great and wonderful. And you said, wow, if this is Christianity, I want more of it. Then the next thing you know, you're descending off of that spiritual high into a valley. And it's dark. So where do I go from here? There's no clear way. And the small, still voice of God comes to you and just says, trust me and take the first step. Trust me and take the first step. So we're challenged this morning to take that first step. Listen, when we're following God, even in our darkest hours, step by step we learn to trust Him more. And step by step He grows us, He increases our faith, He enlarges what He wants to do for us. Listen, today as we begin this study of Daniel, we'll begin to see how God was in control and God has something in plan for you. God has a plan for your life. Just like He has for Daniel. Turn, if you would, to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 1. Daniel, chapter 1. Said, O God, when I lose hope because my plans have come to nothing, then help me to remember that Your love is always greater than my disappointments. Wow. And Your plans for my life are always better than my dreams. Isn't that a powerful statement? Isn't that a powerful prayer? That ultimately God has so much more in store for us than we could ever imagine. A little background to this book of Daniel. This passage we begin reading. King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, he laid siege on the country of Judah four different times. In year 597 B.C., 586 B.C., 581 B.C., and also in 605 B.C., altogether about 15,000 men, women, and children were carried away from Jerusalem or from Judah into Babylon. They were forced to make a 1,000-mile track on foot, bound to other prisoners, other captives, from their homeland of Judah to Babylon. Daniel was likely about 16 years old at this time, a young man, bound to other captives. It's likely he witnessed the death of his parents and friends and cousins, relatives, when King Nebuchadnezzar, his armies invaded Jerusalem and into Judah. We begin to see this darkness in Daniel's life. We begin to see these problems that arose. We begin reading how God shows favor. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names to Daniel: the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. As he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid that my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink, why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked to them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Let's pray together. Father God, today as we read this chapter and begin to understand more about what you're doing in Daniel's life, God, we can reflect on our own life and see that your hand is moving at all times. And Lord, that you never leave us alone, even when we feel that we're isolated. God, you're with us, urging us and moving us all the time. Have your way in this service, in Jesus' name, amen. So there are four truths that we must remember about trusting God when our situations seem hopeless. And I can tell you from reading this that Daniel's situation seemed hopeless when he was carried away into captivity. The first truth is this: that troubles and tragedies will arise in your life. If you haven't figured that part out yet, it won't be long, and maybe you'll walk out with a new truth. There will be troubles, there'll be disappointments, there'll be times that you feel like your world is falling apart, but God is still there. See, Christians are not exempt from the struggles of living through difficulties that bring hurt and loss. Listen, because we claim Christ as our Savior, it doesn't exempt us from the hurts in the world. We go through difficult times. Tragedies do happen to Christians. We do experience great loss, and maybe we don't understand it at the time, but God has a plan, and God walks with us through it. We read that during the third year of King Jehoiakim, reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem to besiege it. So there's a war going on. This king Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon is harassing Judah. Over and over, year after year, every four occasions he comes in and takes captives away to serve in Babylon. The Lord allowed Judah and the Hebrew people to experience a terrible, terrible tragedy. Why? Well, 2 Chronicles tells us this, that the king of Judah practiced evil in the sight of God. So he practiced evil. The king allowed evil to be brought into Judah. And there was idol worship going on. So God became an afterthought, and because of the sin in the people's lives, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to have his way with this king. Matter of fact, he killed this king and took away many, many people. They had forsaken God. The people turned from God and pursuing a holy life, and each one began just to do what they really wanted to do. Kind of sounds like America. Everybody just kind of does what they want to do, and we want laws to protect us so we can just live like we want to live. Listen, sin has a price. Because of the king and some of the people turning away from God, God allowed them to fall into an invading army. And you know what? Even the faithful paid the price for the unfaithful. Hello, church. Wake up, America. Even the faithful to God paid the price for the unfaithful. We too will pay a price. You see, Matthew 5 tells us, for he gives sunshine to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. Bad things do happen in our lives. Bad things happen to good people. Many times it's a result of someone else's poor decisions or their behavior. And so often the troubles and families endure is because of sinful decisions of a family member. And the family feels that they're held captive to the sin of another. It costs them their peace. It fragments their relationships. It breaks trust. It costs them financially. And this loss, this great loss of the joy of living, simply because of sin. Sin buried down, getting a stronghold in lives, in people's lives, and it disrupts families and everything that goes on around them. Problems may arise in our lives without cause, though. Sometimes it's our decisions, and sometimes it just happens. There are illnesses, crippling accidents, medical problems, loss of job, unforeseen expenses, maybe even death of a loved one, or a long hospital stay. Listen, many troubles in our life just happen. We're all subject to the good and the bad in the world. We all have triumphs and we all have tragedies. Yet we do not quit and we do not give up. So Daniel in Jerusalem experienced this invading army coming into their life, and he experienced the death of many relatives, and he experienced the captivity in this long trek of 1,000 miles, thinking that he's going to his death. Imagine that darkness. And maybe for you, you're going through a darkness of your own. Maybe someone in your family is causing a lot of issues. Maybe you're the one that's causing it. Maybe an illness has caused it. Maybe the loss of a job. Listen, there's so many things that could go on, and you feel like this darkness is just crowding in on you. Listen, God has a plan, even in our darkest hour. God has a plan. Never believe because you're going through something that God has forsaken you. Never believe that because you're going through something that God is finished with you. Oh no, God has allowed that to happen for a purpose and a reason. We don't understand it while we're in the darkness. We can't see it. God is just asking us to walk by faith. See, all the world, Helen Keller said, all the world is full of suffering, but it's also full of overcoming. See, we can't just focus on the suffering. It's also full of overcoming in our life. Charles Caleb Colting said it this way. He says, times of great calamity and confusion, times of great calamity and confusion have ever been productive of the greatest minds. The purest ore is produced from the hottest furnace, and the brightest thunderbolt is elicited from the darkest storm. God is working in you even as you go through a dark time. The second truth is this: you do not go through your troubles and trials alone. So good thing, you know, bad things happen to good people. So all of us go through trials. And listen, yours may be darker than someone else's, but God is working. But rest assured, you do not go through it alone. God does not leave you to experience troubles in your own strength, your own wisdom, and your own ability. God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, well, I'll just send you out there. I'll let you go through this time by yourself. I'll just meet you on the other side. No. Here's the thing about God. He says, this is coming up. It may surprise you, but this is going to happen. And you're going to walk through this darkest time, and I'm going to walk with you. But you know what about the unique thing about God being everywhere? He's on the other side waiting for you also. He's with you through the valley, and he's waiting for you on the mountaintop all at the same time. We see in verse 9, now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. So even though Daniel had been taken away and all these 15,000 people had been taken away into captivity, God showed favor to Daniel. Daniel and his faithful friends experienced the savage brutality of war, the hopeless feeling of being a prisoner on a 1,000-mile trek. From a prison camp on the outside of Babylon, Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah were all chosen by King Nebuchadnezzar's chief of staff to serve the king. What an insult, huh? You could take that as an insult. So here I am in this foreign land. I'm living in this prisoner camp, and now they want me to go serve the king who just killed my parents? See, the king was making necessary changes to assimilate all these special young men into his culture, his government, and his religion. These young men were hand-selected because they were handsome. So there is value in being pretty, I guess. But everybody's pretty. Chief of staff recognized special things about them. They were healthy, they were intelligent. But he also gave them new names. Listen to what their names meant. Daniel, his name meant God is judge. They gave him a Babylonian name called Belteshazzar. That means Baal will protect. These are all Babylonian gods. Hananiah, whose name meant God is grace, was renamed Shadrach, which means inspiration of the sun. Mishael, whose name means God is without equal, his name was changed to Meshach, meaning belonging to Aku, which is another Babylonian god. Azariah, the Lord is my helper, his name was changed to Abednego, which is servant of Nego, which is a Babylonian god. See, Nebuchadnezzar's goal was to change their identity and their way of thinking. So here, not only were they in a foreign land, now they had new names and their whole identity was changed. So how's your day going? Through all of these changes, God was faithful and showed them favor where it was most needed. You ask, where's God's favor in Daniel's tragedy? And stripping away their very identity, where's God's favor in that? Glad you ask. See, God had Daniel and his comrades' life in full view. See, God saw already what was going to happen. And he saw Daniel, and he saw these three friends of his, and he saw their life in a panoramic view, and he already saw the end, and he knew exactly what was going to take place, and he led them through it, and he walked through it with them, and he showed favor to them. Even through their darkest hour, God walked with them. So to fulfill his scripture, to fulfill his will, God needed Daniel and Babylonia, not Jerusalem. Wait a minute. Listen, your life will ultimately be fulfilled by God's plan. Now, you can fight against it or not. And the moment that you say, God, take me and use me, that's when you will surely begin to enjoy life. As long as you try to do your own thing and fight against God, your life will be miserable. You will not be happy at all. You will not find satisfaction. See, God needed Daniel not in Jerusalem but in Babylonia. What if God needs you in India? Oh, wait, God. What if God needs you in Canada? What if God needs you in Mexico? What if God needs you in Texas? What if God needs you in North Louisiana? What if God needs you to really be invested in Evangeline Parish? Really be invested. See, God used their troubles for his triumph and ultimately for the good of all humanity to fulfill his will. God worked his divine plan through Israel's failure. The Lord guided the safety and protection of Daniel, and he was never alone. So why wasn't Daniel killed? God had a plan for him. God saw everything. His will was unfolding, and he brought Daniel 1,000 miles of safety over to Babylonia where he needed him. God will bring you where he needs you. He may have to bring you kicking and screaming. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." God is working his divine plan out in your life. Even though things may seem hopeless, maybe things seem real dark, God will go with you and he will make a way when it seems that all things are falling apart. You know what? Sometimes when our life seems like it's falling apart, that's only God letting us get rid of a few things. Because we built up a wall so strong that he can't penetrate it. So he just begins to take a few things away from us. He will say, "Oh, no, look what we're going through. Look what tragedy this is." And God says, "That's not a tragedy. I'm just trying to get to you. I've got to knock these walls down." Whew, not too many amens on that one. God does not leave us on our own accord. You see, God is well aware of your situation in mind. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 5 says, "Oh Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it already. You hem me in from behind and before and lay your hand upon me." That God is with you from behind and before. He's there through your darkest hour. When you're frustrated with your life, you're frustrated with your family, you're frustrated with your situation, you're kicking and kicking and screaming, and you're pushing yourself further and further away from the Lord says, "Wait a minute. I'm allowing this to happen so you'll grow closer to me. I'm allowing all these things go on in your life, not that you'll run away from me, but that you'll run to me. You do not walk alone. The Lord is with you, and He knows your struggles, your hurts, your disappointments, your frustrations. Walk on in courage and peace and strength that He gives you, not your own. If we try to do it in our own strength, we'll quit altogether. We'll quit. See, God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And He never gives up on us. I want to underline that part. God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And He never gives up on us. Now, we may give up on God, but God doesn't give up on us. Third truth is this. Stay steadfast and focus in your obedience to God. Stay steady. Go forward. Stay focused. Your obedience to God during troubled times will shine like the stars on the darkest night. Verse 5 through 8 says this. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. And they were being trained for 3 years. And after that, they would enter the king's service. Verse 8 says this, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way." So, well, what's wrong with the food that the king was offering? Well, let's understand the Hebrew were following Daniel and them. They were faithful to God even over in Jerusalem. So they didn't get involved in the sinful lifestyle. They were good people following God who paid the consequences for the evil. Carried away. Their food, they followed the Mosaic law. And basically they ate vegetables and drank water. And they were healthy. And they were good looking. Everything was kosher. Everything had to be prepared a certain way. Everything, they followed the traditional Hebrew diet. So when the king came and offered them pork chops and boudin and cracklings, steak, crawfish, crab, all those things, Daniel said, "Wait a minute. That's not on our menu." Those things, according to their belief and their conscience with God, would defile their body. And they didn't want anything to do with it. So instead of drinking wine, they wanted water. Daniel was like, "I want to be obedient to God. And I want a clear conscience toward God. And I will eat the things that are in the Mosaic law that I need to eat so that I can be in right standing with God." And listen, you can have all the other stuff. I know it's from the king's table. I know it's the best of the best of the best. But I want to be obedient to God. You in South Louisiana, you stick a pound of Buddha in front of somebody and see if there's obedience. There's not much self-control. This is Old Testament now. See, Daniel was concerned about his relationship with God first, before the troubles that loomed in his life. Listen, Daniel could have been killed. He could have had his head chopped off simply because he refused the food from the king. What an insult! And that chief guard knew that. That chief official knew that, listen, if you're not going to eat this food, he's going to kill me. Daniel said, test me. Can you walk in obedience to say, just test me? Will you walk in obedience in the darkest hour of your life and say, God, I know this is a test. I know you're leading me somewhere, but I want to follow you. I'm not going to turn to the side. I'm not going to go do what the world's wanting to do. I'm not going out to the clubs. I'm not going out to the barrooms. I'm not going out to do all those things. God, I want to be faithful to you because you're in control of all of this. I'm not going to pick up my habits. In your time of troubles, refrain from pondering on the problems and obligate yourself just to be obedient to Christ. Despite what the world may tell you, what friends may encourage you to do that's contrary to God's will, stay focused on your relationship with Christ. Be obedient. See, your obedience demonstrates that you really do trust God through your difficulty. You say you have faith. Faith is expressed through obedience. We see Chuck Colson said it. Obedience is the key to real faith. Obedience is the key to real faith. So if you're going through that dark hour in your life, you're going through and you seem like troubles are all around you, don't look at the troubles. Look at the one who can solve the troubles. Look at the Savior. Will you trust Him today? Listen, if you keep your eyes on the troubles around you, you're trying to do it in your own power and your own strength, and you will be so, so messed up. You'll lose so much sleep at night. You'll be stressed out during the day. You may even start picking up some habits that you don't need because you're looking at your troubles. And God says, keep your eyes here. Stay focused. Keep your eyes up here. Look at me, and I'll lead you where I need you to go. Just look at me. Alan Redpath said this. There's some task which God, the God of all the universe, the great Creator, your Redeemer in Jesus Christ, has for you to do, and which will remain undone and incomplete until by faith and obedience you step into the will of God. So, God is allowing these things to happen in my life. Now, I have a choice to make. I can get all caught up in all this confusion and all this garbage. I can get caught up and I'm running from side to side and I'm trying, I'm trying to figure all this out. Or I can stay steadfast, focused, and obedient to God. And when I say steadfast and focused, obedient to God, it's amazing how a lot of those things I used to get all stirred up about just seem to fade away. And they begin to work themselves out. God is working that out for you. Right. And for me. Listen, I struggle with those things too. God is in control of it because there's a greater plan. The fourth truth is this: God will increase your faith and enlarge your portion when you walk in obedience. When you walk in obedience, God will strengthen your faith. The things that disturbed you when you first got saved, when you first got born again, your faith was young, you're an infant in Christ, the things that still kind of bothered you, listen, 10 years down the line shouldn't bother you anymore. Why? Because your faith is increased. And as your faith increased, He enlarges your portion. Obedience to God brings His blessings and an increase of your influence and impact more to impact more lives for Christ. Verse 17 through 19. So to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. So here they are. They agreed to let those guys just eat vegetables and water. Why? Because they wanted a clear conscience toward God. Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And at the end of the time, set by the king to bring them into the service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with him and found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. So after 3 years of eating vegetables and drinking water, and everybody in South Louisiana said, "What?" But after 3 years of following in obedience to God, with a clear conscience toward God about what they knew to be right, they were healthier, better looking, and far more intelligent than all the rest that were chosen. Those four guys. You see, whatever decisions you make today will have future effects. Those guys' decisions back then had an effect 3 years later. Daniel and his friends' decision to be faithful to God and not defile themselves proved to have intermediate and long-term effects. Their obedience to God first affected everything in their lives, their countenance, their intelligence, their health, their wisdom, everything. Daniel and the other Hebrew young men benefited from their obedience and faithfulness. They were tested and proved to be excellent candidates. Verse 20 tells us the king questioned them and he found them 10 times smarter and wiser than the magicians and the enchanters that he had in his kingdom. Why? See that Daniel gained favor, the king of Babylon. He was wiser than all these magicians and enchanters because they turned to demons and trickery. Daniel turned to God. Daniel turned to God, and God entrusted him. Daniel's wisdom and knowledge was from God, the creator of the universe. Daniel and his three friends began to serve in the king's palace and for the benefit of all Babylon. God increased Daniel's faith, and he enlarged his portion. Daniel kept going up and moving up in status in the king's palace. See, in his darkest hour, God was with him because he had a fantastic plan awaiting this young man. God chose Daniel all along for a special service. See, what Daniel and no one else really realized at that time in Daniel's life was that God needed Daniel from Jerusalem over in Babylon. And God entrusted into the Daniel because of his obedience. And he gave him visions and the ability to interpret visions and dreams. And it worked in this king's life. So Babylon, over the next few chapters, you'll see that Babylon benefited from Daniel being there. But what so many don't realize is that over the centuries, see, Daniel taught this group of wise men the Hebrew scriptures, and they began to look for the Messiah who was to be born in Israel, in Bethlehem. So Daniel, being in Babylon, fulfilled the scriptures that God had placed already. That wise men would come from the east and find the Christ child at the house. And there they brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Oh, you see, God had a great plan for Daniel. Listen, God has a great plan for you. What dark time are you facing right now? God is up to something great in your life through it, and through that, You may feel alone, but God is with you, walking with you. Rest assured that you are not. And God wants to take you somewhere Stay faithful to Christ Jesus. You will see His hand of favor moving in your life. Always remember this. God doesn't work in our timetable. He doesn't work in yours. He doesn't work in mine. Because, boy, if He did, we'd already be on Chico Park Road. That's my timetable. God said, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. God works in His timetable in your life. God allows hardships and trials in order to purify our faith, to test our obedience, and to show us that we're totally dependent upon Him, and He will take care of us. Right. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. I love it. He said, cheer up, Christian. Things are not left to chance. No blind fate rules this world. God has purposes, and those purposes are fulfilled. God has plans, and those plans are wise and never can be dislocated. See, God allows us to go through trials and troubles, just like Daniel, for the very reason that He's trying to grow us to a place to take us to a new level. It's that simple. Whatever you're going through today, 10 years, you'll look back and say, wow, look what we went through and look where we are today. Now listen, when it's darkest time, we can't see that. We can't see the hurt and we can't see past the anxiety. We can't see past the sleepless nights. But listen, God is saying, just be obedient. Just trust me. I'm bringing you somewhere. Don't get hung up on all your losses. Don't get hung up on the difficult times right now. Don't give up on the steps that you're taking right. Do it, because I'm taking you somewhere. And when you get there, you'll know it. Can we be a Daniel and just say, God, whatever comes, I want to be obedient to You. I want to follow You. And today, just take that first step. Say, Lord, I'm trusting You even though I can't see the pathway. I'm trusting You and I want to be obedient. Let's pray together. Father God, today we're so grateful that You don't give up on us. And God, when our situations seem hopeless, God, that we just need to put our faith totally in You. Not in ourselves, God, because we're failures. But God, You've never failed. And God, You already know the future. You see the future. You're already there. You're waiting on us to arrive. It seems simple enough that we would trust You. But there's so many voices going off, God, pulling us side to side. Lord, let us today just shut those voices out. Say, we want to be faithful to You. And God, let Your people, I know there's some going through difficulties. Lord, let them today just say, God, I trust You. And I'll be obedient to You no matter what. By Your power and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.